WMO Brentwood.
Unlike milk and library books, there is no due date or expiration date in the grand hour.
The shadow knows.
Listening to The Bride of Death, original air date 6th of March 1938.
To protect your family's health and save real money in the bargain, burn Blue Coal. For Blue Coal gives you uniform, helpful, economical heat all winter long. Its harmless blue coloring is your guarantee of better heat at less cost. So when you are buying fuel, insist on Blue Coal. It's Pennsylvania's finest hard coal. Order a trial ton from your nearest Blue Coal dealer tomorrow.
May I come in?
Oh, all right.
I'm the Reverend Colby from the fishing village below. I want to see Mrs. Ackley.
She has retired. Come tomorrow.
I must see her tonight.
Why?
My daughter Isabel is here. She's Mrs. Ackley's companion, but I've come to take her home.
Ah, the girl Isabel. She does not wish to leave.
I've come to fetch her. I'm a man of the cloth, a man of peace. I will not leave without her. Let me by.
Arthur, Matar, visitor, stop him.
Yes, Master, as you command.
Let go of me. Take your hands off me, you heathen devils.
Put him up. Keep him out.
Wait.
Mrs. Ackley.
I will see him. How dare you break into my house this way, Reverend Colby?
Because I will not have my daughter stay in a house that harbors evildoers, Mrs. Ackley. There's talk in the village of heathen rites performed by this man who calls himself Prophet of the Ancient One. This man you brought to a Christian place from some Asiatic sinkhole of the godless.
Be careful how you speak in the presence of the prophet.
You mean that man there?
Yes, minister. I am the prophet.
Prophet? Where is my daughter Isabel? She is leaving this house on the cliff tonight.
Tell Reverend Colby she does not wish to go.
I...
Tell him, Mrs. Ackley.
Your daughter Isabel does not wish to go. Good night, Reverend Colby.
I do not believe you. Let me see her. Let her tell me herself.
She does not wish to see you. Get beyond the iron gates quickly, for in 5 minutes my servants will release my trained guardians.
I'm not afraid of that unholy pack of black panthers of yours.
They are dangerous, minister. Trained in my native land. Trained to hunt and kill animals or men. Go now.
Very well.
I'm going, but I'll be back. I'll be back.
Stop it. Why do the panthers scream?
It is an omen of death.
Whose death? Tell me. The future is so plain to you. Tell me who is going to die.
I see the minister, Reverend Colby, standing in the pulpit of his church, turning these simple fishing folks against you, Mrs. Ackley.
Reverend Colby is going to die. But how?
The wrath of the Ancient One will strike him down with the voice of thunder and the tongue of fire.
Ago this night, I went to Mrs. Ackley's house on the cliff to bring my own daughter, Isabel Colby, home. But I could not see her, could not speak to her. She is lost to me, and therefore let my own sorrow be a warning to those of you in this village whose sons and daughters may go to that house of the devil, to this man who dares desecrate the name of prophet. Now, let us offer a prayer for the mistress of Casamane. Though rich in worldly goods and worldly knowledge, and so long one of us, kindly and generous until of late, and now ailing in mind and spirit, who hath turned from God to follow the pathway of a disciple of Satan, let us pray. We beseech thee, have mercy on this poor lost one who has strayed from the fold.
And so in the midst of those who perished with him, and whom he loved so well, we return the body of our beloved minister, Reverend Colby. Return him to the earth, ashes unto ashes, dust unto dust.
Here we are, Margot.
Yes, but where, Lamont? The fog's so thick I can't see a thing.
This is the little village where the Reverend Colby and 10 of his parishioners were killed by a mysterious explosion in his church.
Oh, it was horrible. But, Lamont, it happened days ago. What can we do?
Murder has been committed, Margot. Wholesale murder, and the killer or killers are still at large.
But according to the newspaper report...
Yes, I know. The paper said the authorities have been unable to uncover a possible motive. Investigation is hampered by the refusal of the fisher folk of this quaint little village to cooperate.
Perhaps they're afraid to talk, Lamont.
Yes, it's surprising what superstition can do.
What about this rich Mrs. Ackley you were talking about, Lamont? Where does she fit into the picture?
I don't know, Margot. All I know is that about 3 months ago, she returned from the Far East with a man who calls himself the Prophet. This man claims to be the leader of a cult worshipping a deity known as the Ancient One.
Is there such a cult?
There was, but it was stamped out nearly 5 centuries ago because its ceremonies and rituals included human sacrifice.
Human sacrifice?
Yes.
Oh, how horrible. Then you think there is a connection between the so-called prophet, the destruction of this Christian church, and the murder of Reverend Colby?
Margot, I don't know. I'm going into that cottage down the road. There are some Christians.
I'll wait in the car. Oh, that awful foghorn. It gives me the creeps.
You'll be safe here, Margot, but don't get out of the car.
All right.
Now, Lamont Cranston and the Shadow are going to find out something more about this mystery of the house on the cliff.
won't answer.
And why not, Marthy? You think it's a ghost from the marshes or that devil from the cliff house? Who's there?
Don't open the door, Seth.
Stranger, I've lost my way in the fog.
I'll tell him there's but one road back to the mainland.
Leave this to me, Marthy. Where are you heading for, stranger?
Can you tell me how to get to Mrs. Ackley's place, Cousin Marnie?
Yes, I could, but I won't.
Wait, don't close the door. I'd like to ask a few questions.
Questions, huh? Well, ask them, but I'll not warrant an answer to anybody going to that house.
You needn't be afraid of me.
I'm Captain Seth. 50 years I've sailed before the mast, and I'm not afeard of man, devil of the sea. Who be you?
I'll tell you this much, Captain Seth. I'm here to put an end to the thing that made your wife afraid to let you open this door.
I can't see you out there in the dark, but...
Seth!
Huh?
Those panthers! They've come down the village again.
What? Panthers? Who's are they?
The prophets. Step into the house, stranger. They'll tear a man to pieces. Well, what ails you, Marthy?
The blue light. It's him coming in the gate. He always carries...
Well, let him come. Get in the house, stranger. Well, Marthy, there's nobody here. Where's the fellow gone? He was here a second ago.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he run for it. Seth, what do you suppose that prophet fella wants of us?
Get away from the door, Marthy. I'll deal with him.
Good evening, my good captain.
Stop where you be. I'll not have the likes of you in my house.
A stranger came here. His car is down the road. The spirit of the Ancient One told me of his coming. Who was the stranger? Where has he gone?
To all your questions, I'll give you one answer. Get your howling beasts and your heathen godless self back to the house on the cliff, or I'll blow you to the very door of Hades.
No man threatens the prophet and live.
Get out!
Very well, Captain. Since you will not tell me, I will find him. My servants are watching his car. We will find him.
He'll need all the unearthly powers you claim to find a man in this fog. Good night.
I'll find him. He can't be far away.
No. Not far away, but close to you. In the dark shadows and the swirling mist.
Who speaks?
I am looking for a man with blood on his hands. The blood of a minister and 10 innocent people he murdered.
Are you a man hiding in the fog?
Do not try so hard to pierce the fog. You cannot see me, for I am the shadow.
The shadow? A voice without physical presence? Only a voice? No, my friend. In my native India, such things are known. But not here.
The powers of mesmerism have spread beyond the gray monastic walls of the yogi priests. Modern science has advanced their ancient art.
Perhaps. But I am still stronger than you. Strong enough to do what I have set out to do.
And what is that?
I will not tell you, Shadow. And no one, not even you with your borrowed powers, shall stand in my way. For I am the prophet. Prophet of the Ancient One.
Master, the stranger, he does not return to the automobile, but a young woman is there waiting for him.
So, could it be, Shadow, that you are the stranger we seek, that your companion waits for you? Naka.
Yes, Naka.
Go quickly, I will follow. Seek the girl. She will be useful to us, very useful. If I cannot reach the Shadow, I can reach his companion.
Yes, Naka. Macau and the panthers watch her. She will not escape.
Do you hear, Shadow?
Yes, I hear.
Save her if you can. You say you are a man. If that is true, then my panthers will smell you up whether they can see you or not. There's the car. Akka, seize the girl.
Macau and the girl. Macanaro. Macanaro. Cover it.
Cover him up, you fools. Take her to the house on the cliff. We will keep her with Isabel Colby. She shall be tortured until she tells us what she knows.
WMFO Medford.
4, 3, 2, 1. space class. Watch out! What was that? What happened? We're lost in space!
Stranded halfway between Mercury and Pluto, Miss Frizzle and her gang of second graders have no way back to Earth until they remember that radio waves never die. Guided by the freeform stylings of WMFO, the Magic School Bus Gang safely makes it back towards Earth. To avoid future field trip mishaps and to help keep WMFO running strong, write a check to Trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO, Attention, Donation, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts 02155, or give online at support.wmfo.org.
WMFO Medford.
Why did the Prophet's servants bring you here to Mrs. Ackley's house?
I don't know.
But who are you and why are they keeping you locked up in this room?
Well, I'm Isabel Colby. My father was Reverend Colby, the minister of the little fishing village down the cove. He's dead. He's murdered him.
Yes, I know. But you, why are you here?
I used to be Mrs. Ackley's companion and secretary before she brought this man, the prophet, to the house. But now, that Hindu has some sort of hold over her mind. He calls her a high priestess, and she let him lock me up in here.
Oh, how terrible, Miss Colby. What is happening in this house to Mrs. Ackley and to you?
Oh, I don't know. It has something to do with a ceremony that the prophet says he and Mrs. Ackley must perform. The climax of some strange religious ritual they go through day after day in Mrs. Ackley's private chapel. He changes into a place he calls the Temple of the Ancient Ones. This morning, he came here and said, I am to be what he calls the Bride of Death. They're going to take me to that temple tonight.
Do you know why?
Yes. To kill me.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Ackley is the high priestess who's going to sacrifice me to that horrible deity they worship.
Oh, don't give up hope, Isabel. There's still a chance we'll get out of this place, both of us. Oh, Lamont, Lamont, why don't you come before it's too late? Maybe this is...
Acker! Unlock it off.
Don't let him take me. Don't...
Isabel Colby, the time has come. The high priestess is waiting to perform her ceremony. In the temple of the ancients.
No, please don't.
Matawa. Yes, Master. Take the girl Isabel to the shrine. Tell the high priestess to prepare the girl and herself for the wedding of death. Come. My master commands.
No, no. I won't go.
Jesus,
wait,
girl.
Don't do me.
Yes, Master. I kill her now.
No.
Matawa. Take the girl Isabel to the shrine. Wait there for me. Prepare the sacred fires. Purify the sword of the ancient one. The sacrificial altar is ready. And death is waiting for his bride. Yes, my father.
No! No, you're going to murder me like you murdered my father!
Now, strange girl, I will deal with you.
No, prophet. You will deal with me, the shadow.
Thank heavens you've come.
You, the shadow here? Yeah? How? There are panthers chained at every door.
It was easy, prophet.
Oh, I knew the shadow would come. I knew he couldn't be far away.
Oh, you do know the shadow. This slinking coward who fears to show himself, who hides himself in the shadows.
Shadow, the prophet is going to kill Reverend Colby's daughter. He's going to make Mrs. Ackley kill her in some fantastic ceremony.
Yes. In a few minutes she will be dead and you cannot stop it.
A clever scheme. You've numbed the failing mind of Mrs. Ackley with drugs. Me to do your will, sign a fortune over to you.
Your knowledge will not help you now, Shadow.
You plan to have Mrs. Ackley commit murder, turn her over to the police, blame her for the death of Reverend Colby, and with a fortune in your hands, discard your role of prophet and disappear.
You are clever, Shadow. Yes, that is my plan. It is a pity such a mind as yours will soon be lost to the world. Within an hour, after Mrs. Ackley has obligingly murdered the girl Isabel, this house will burn. A tank of gasoline in the cellar will explode. And this will be the funeral pyre of the Shadow and his beautiful young companion. But I must go now. They are waiting for me.
You are not going through that door. It is locked.
You lie. It is. Akka! Come on!
They cannot hear you. They're waiting for you in the temple, and I have the key to the door.
You are not too clever, Shadow. Give me the key to the door, or I shoot this girl.
Take that gun away from her head.
Throw the key upon that table, quick.
Don't give him the key. I'm not afraid of him.
I shall count to three, Shadow. If I don't get the key, it's a pity. But this beautiful girl shall die. One.
You wouldn't.
Two. Three. You are wise, Shadow.
You fiendish devil. I'll show you the Shadow can do more than warn, threaten. Take that.
Oh, Lamont. Oh, Lamont, are you all right?
Yes, but I'm afraid I knocked the prophet out cold. Margot, take that key. Get out of here. Down the hall. There's a door. Take the prophet's gun. Drive to that cottage I visited tonight. Get Captain Zeth to call the villagers. Tell them they can help to avenge the murder of their friend.
What are you going to do? They may kill Isabel before I can get help.
Never mind. You hurry and get help.
All right. I'll go out. I'll get Captain Zeth to round up the people of the village, and then I'll come back.
Very well, Margot. I may need your help. Come back to this room.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yes, Margot?
I saw Captain Zeth. The people of the village are coming. He's calling them together.
You can't wait for him, Margot. Beyond that door, at the head of the stairs, Death is waiting for Isabel Colby. The prophet's followers are there awaiting his appearance.
But the prophet's still lying here unconscious on the floor.
Nevertheless, he will not disappoint them.
Lamont, I don't understand.
Margot, I'm going to ask you to do a very dangerous thing. I want you to put on the prophet's robe, cover your face with a hood, and walk in there as the prophet.
Very well, I'll do anything I can, you know that.
Do not show your face till you reach the altar. Don't speak. Keep close to Isabel Colby. Watch Mrs. Ackley and leave the rest to me.
Yes, Lamont, I understand. I'm ready.
Metanalo, Fatamos, O ancient one, vision of eternal life, before of thy altar the youthful maiden waits. Thy ancient God has spirit to release unto thine own. Her blood is pledged, her soul is thine. Metanalo, Etilasi, Calavara, Fatamos. All is in readiness, Master.
Metawa, look. The hood covers the Master's face. The hour has come for the ritual to begin.
See, Master. The girl Isabel is lashed to the altar of the Ancient One. The sacred fires burn in the jeweled torches. All is in readiness, Master. All as you have commanded. Latawa, bring Mrs. Ackley. Prepare her to make the sacrifice.
I am ready. Ready to do the will of the prophet. To plunge this sword into the girl's heart. But I am afraid. Give me the drug to give me strength. The will to do the thing you have told me I must do. If I am to be high priest.
Look, Matawa. It is slain. The Master does not speak. Does not answer us.
He goes to the shrine alone.
Wait. He turns. He is lifting the hood of his robes.
Akka, look. It is not the prophet. It is a beautiful girl. It is the strange girl. The one the Master stayed below to...
What has happened to our Master? Why do you wear the robes of the prophets?
Matawa, you have been tricked. The man you serve as a god is a rogue. A charlatan. A fake.
That voice, Matawa.
That is not the voice of the prophet. It is not the strange girl speaking. See, her lips have not moved.
No! It is the voice of the shadow.
The shadow? The master warned us to beware of the shadow, Akka.
Matawa, the master must be dead. The shadow has killed him.
Robert, the time has come. I must drive the sword into the heart of the bride of death. I will not fail.
Don't do it. They're tricking you, making you murder me. And they'll kill you.
No.
They'll kill you.
No, I shall be a high priestess. I shall live forever like the prophet, like the ancient one.
Mrs. Ackley. Drop that sword, Mrs. Ackley. Drop it, I say.
Drop the sword. Yes. Drop the sword.
Oh, Akka, look. This shadow has broken the master's power over this woman.
I am free now. Free of the spell. Oh, what have I done?
He is stronger than the master. We must escape. We must get away.
You will never get away. Never leave this house.
Akka! The prophet.
The dead man in my house. Throw your knives. Get out. Get out, I command you.
No. No, prophet. We obey you no more.
Obey me. You trick us. Make us kill. For you are the true prophet of the ancient one.
You defy me. Don't.
Drop the knife.
See? The blood runs in his veins. He tells us he cannot die. Now we shall see.
Your girl. Now. Now the shadow will destroy you.
He is dead. The shadow spoke the truth, Matawa. He was not the true prophet. The true prophet of the Ancient One was blessed with life. Everlasting.
You are right, Akka.
Quick, we must get away. Away from this shadow.
You cannot escape for long. Your sins will find you out.
Oh,
Isabel!
Oh, God.
Be your
thing. Yes, oh, thank you. Won't you tell me who you are?
I'm sorry. But I'm afraid I must remain anonymous until my work is finished. I will have to continue being known only as the Shadow.
Now here is John Barker.
That was The Bride of Death. Again, its original air date was the 6th of March, 1938. It starred Orson Welles as The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane, and actually Margot Stevenson played Isabel Colby. She'd take over the role for Margot Lane later in that season. Now, go ahead and play a PSA for you.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Part of the second bill here. I'm going to follow, like I did on the first Grand Hour, with a Western, Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter. You're listening to
WMFO Medford.
Yes, WMFO Medford. FM wmfo.org.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment.
This show, original air date, was September 20th, 1953. And it is titled Jenny.
Some 7 million more children in elementary schools than there are now. More equipment will be needed, and above all, more elementary school teachers. To help assure your child a proper education, join and work with local groups and school boards. And for free information about how people in other communities are improving their schools, write to this address. National Citizens Commission for the Public Schools, 2 West 45th Street, New York 19, New York. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
It was hot that afternoon. A low, crawling kind of heat that seemed to be following us as we rode along. The sun hadn't come out in the morning, but about noon it pushed through the clouds. Boy, it was hot. By 4 o'clock, when it should have been cooling off, it seemed hotter than ever. We still had about 15 miles to go before we'd hit Lead Creek. That was where I figured on getting a job helping lay track on that new spur line to Salt Lake City. I nudged Scar on the flank, and we headed down a little gully. His ears pricked up, and he jerked his head. I wasn't sure whether he'd heard something or just sensed it. You know, with a horse, it's pretty hard to tell where hearing leads off and sensing begins. What's the matter, boy?
Hey.
Then I heard it, too. I wheeled Scar off the trail. Went about 20 yards before I saw him. Lying in the shade of a yellow boulder in a clump of mesquite. And young fella, just lying there, he looked comfortable and relaxed like he was taking a siesta. But he couldn't have been enjoying himself too much, not with a big red stain like that across the front of his shirt. What's the trouble?
I had a little accident.
Yeah, it looks that way. What happened?
My horse threw me a couple hours ago. I landed on my gun. It went off. See, you haven't got any water, have you?
Sure, yeah.
Lucky you came by, mister. You're a stranger, ain't you?
I'm just passing through. I'm not much of a doc. Maybe I can fix a bandage for you for the time being.
I already fixed one. Just my shirt tail. Don't seem to be doing much good.
Let me see if I can tighten it. Hold on now. You think you can ride?
I don't know. You ain't seen my pony yet. You know, with a half moon on his flank?
No, I can't say I have.
Not run off.
Well, now, just don't worry about him. My horse will get us into Lead Creek.
Lead Creek?
Yeah, that's close to town, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, all right, now, let me give you a hand here.
It ain't no use, mister.
No, you gotta try. Now, just lean your weight on me.
I'll never make it.
Okay. That's it.
There's a cabin past a mile or so west. I might be able to ride that far.
Oh, that'd be better than staying here. Now, I'm gonna lift your feet up. Now, that'll hurt plenty. Once you're in the saddle, you'll be all right. Now, here we go. There we are. I'll take it real slow. I'll walk alongside. There you are. Was it west, you said, huh?
Yeah. I sure do appreciate this, mister. I sure will.
He keeled over in the saddle. I managed to keep from sliding out, and we started off. About 15 minutes later, I saw the cabin he'd been talking about, and wasn't much more than a shack, only 2-3 rooms and a couple of acres of fenced-in pasture and a barn. I led Scar up to the front stoop and lifted the young fellow off. He was still unconscious, which was all of the good, of course. I carried him up to the front door and gave it a couple of kicks. Kicked again, and he sprung open. Anybody home? Hello? Yeah, now you just lay there. I'll try and get some rest. I'll look around.
Where?
He passed out again. I covered him with a blanket lying across the foot of the cot there. Supper was on the kitchen stove. Beef stew smelled pretty good. I opened the back door. I saw somebody cutting up a pile of kindling over near the barn. Whoever it was sure knew how to handle an axe.
Where'd you come from?
Now, I'm sorry if I frightened you, ma'am. I knocked on the front door, but I guess you couldn't hear me, huh?
I ain't got no handout for tramp. Go on, get out.
Well, I'm not exactly a tramp, ma'am. Although I'm not blaming you for thinking it. I've been riding for quite a spell.
Well, what do you want?
I ran across a fellow a little while ago in a gully just east of here. He'd been shot up.
Shot?
Yeah, he said his gun went off accidental. He's hurt pretty bad, and since this place yours was the closest...
Where is he?
Well, I took the liberty of putting him in a cot inside there, so I hope you don't mind. She didn't wait even for me to finish. She just marched past me like I wasn't even there. I watched her for a second, and then I followed her into the house. I'd never run into a woman exactly like her before. At first, I thought she was a man. You know, the pants, the checkered shirt she was wearing, the way she chopped up kindling, they fooled me. She walked like a man, too. He's stiff, square-shouldered. They were a woman's eyes, all right. Kind of soft and young and frightened. Yeah. The rest of her had been pretty as her eyes. She'd been a real fine-looking girl.
Take that rag off him while I fix a new bandage.
Yes, ma'am. It's a shame to tear up a fancy petticoat like that.
I got no need for petticoats, mister. Can you turn him on his side? That's better. Now, if I can just get the bleeding to stop.
You know him, ma'am?
No. Why should I?
Oh, I just thought since he was in your neighborhood.
Lots of folks pass by here. That don't mean I know him. I don't know you neither.
Oh, sorry. My name's Ponsett. Rick Ponsett.
Ponsett? I've heard of you somewhere, haven't I?
No, not likely. This is the first time I've been around Wed Creek here.
Got a pocket knife?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, George, you're doing a real good job on it, you know. Your husband off somewhere today?
I'm not married.
Oh, it must get kind of lonely out here all by yourself, doesn't it?
I like being alone. I don't want a lot of people around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say I blame you. I never been much on congregating myself. I always sort of like to... Well, you know, that bleeding's letting up a little. All right, I guess I'll be shutting off, man. When I get into town, I'll send a doctor out here.
No. No, you can't. What I mean is there is no doctor in Lead Creek.
Oh?
He moved away a couple of years ago.
Well, there must be a doctor somewhere around these
places. No, not within 100 miles. I'll have to take care of him myself.
Well, maybe I can find somebody to help you. You know, since I brought him in here, I sort of
I'd rather like... do it alone. I'll manage all right.
Well, that's mighty decent of you, but him being a stranger, all right. Well, so long.
Mr. Ponson?
Yes, ma'am?
You won't tell the folks in town he's here.
Hmm?
Well, he's a stranger, like you said. He don't concern them, and I don't want them laughing at me. They'd say, Jenny Garber's finally got herself a man. If he wasn't unconscious, she'd never have managed it. So, you won't tell them, will you?
Well, I don't suppose anybody will ask me about him. Easy, boy. Easy, easy.
What are you looking at?
Oh, I was just noticing those horses over in the pasture there. Are both yours?
Yes, they are. Why?
No reason. No, that pinto looks like a good animal. What do you call him?
Name's Moon, because of the marking on his flank. Looks like a half moon.
Yeah, I can see it, yeah. Well, I hope the patient doesn't give you too much trouble. All right, come on. Sun went down, but it didn't cool off much. Maybe when the moon came out, there'd be a little breeze. I've been riding for a couple hours since I left the cabin. Still had 5 or 6 miles to go before I hit Lead Creek. We were coming through a narrow canyon when I heard a little rustling sound. First, I thought maybe it was that breeze I'd been waiting for. The next thing I knew, I was behind a rock. I wasn't quite sure how I got there. I guess my legs sort of took over without me having to tell them what to do.
You ain't got a chance, Ned. We're all around here. Come out from behind those rocks and keep your hands up.
Well, I'd be glad to oblige, but I ain't Ned. Whoever he is.
Hold it a minute, Sheriff. Hmm? Oh. Well, looks like they made a little mistake, boys. You all right, mister?
No serious damage, I guess.
Well, sorry to bother you, but what are you doing out here anyway?
Well, I was heading for town. I heard there might be some work on the new railroad, so I might sign up for a spell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they can always use another man. My name's York, Sheriff Jim York.
I'm pleased to meet you, Sheriff. I'm Britt Ponson.
Ponson? Someone they call Six-Shooter?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you were in these parts. Boys, meet Britt Ponson. Britt, this is Sam Norville, Tom Jackson, Harry Potter.
Howdy.
Britt's the man who brought in the Phoenix Kid. Kid had the drop on him, too, but he never got a chance to pull a trigger. At least, that's the way folks tell it.
Yeah, well, between the doing and the telling, you know, there's apt to be some exaggeration.
Well, anyway, I'm sure glad we run into you tonight. That six gun of yours may come in handy.
Oh?
Yeah, we're looking for Ned Landy. That's who we thought you was at first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I figure something like that. Now, what's this Landy been up to?
Trouble. For the last 3 months. Hold up, a couple of shooting sprees. Broke into Harry's bank last night and killed Harry's brother.
I say.
I've taken a posse after him before, but we always seem to lose him in these hills. We'll get him tonight, though. Picked up his trail this morning. Even spotted him for a minute or two on the far side of Devil's Canyon over in the trees. I got off a shot. Thought I'd hit him for sure. Well, I guess my aim was off. Anyway, he gave us the slip again.
Well, what's he look like?
Oh, he's young, about 23, I'd say. Short, wiry, black hair, rides a pinto.
Pinto, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen him.
Yeah, I guess I have.
Yeah? Well, where was he?
I left him at a cabin about 9 miles back. And, your aim was all right this morning, Sheriff. He's carrying a bullet in his stomach. Of course, he said he'd shot himself by accident.
The only cabin out this way is Jenny Garber's.
That's the woman. That's the woman that lived there. You know?
Well, come on, boys. Let's go. Ain't you coming too, Britt?
Oh, no. You won't need any help, Sheriff. Landy's not likely to last long enough for you to get him into town, I don't think.
Well, we'll get him in all right. Doc will see to that.
The doc? What, but I understood
sure.
There weren't any...
Sam, here's the doctor. See, that's what he's been claiming for the past 20 years.
Yes, just wait a minute, Sheriff. Hold on, you know, I've changed my mind. I think maybe I will ride up there with you.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
This sale is for a limited time only, so see your Coleman dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name and address in your telephone directory. Two of The Six Shooters, starring James Stewart.
About an hour and a half after I met up with the sheriff, we came to a little stream trickling down the hill just off the trail. I'd missed it when I passed by before. I hadn't known there was any water around, and Scar hadn't smelled it either. The air being so quiet and everything. Well, we pulled up and gave the horses a chance to get a drink.
Well, I guess there ain't no rush. And that's as bad off as you say.
Yeah. Yeah. Something funny, Sheriff?
Well, I was just thinking about Jenny Garber.
Oh?
Yep, she's finally got herself a man. He's going to be real temporary, though.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, and if he didn't have a bullet in him, I'll bet he'd take off the first time he got a look at her.
Well, it'd take more than a bullet to keep me there.
Me too, Sheriff.
What is it? Something wrong with Jenny?
Well, you've seen her, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well?
Well, I guess she's no beauty.
Now, that's giving her the benefit of the doubt, Foster. Now, if you ask me, my horse is better looking.
No, you know, Sheriff, now, a lot of plain women seem to get along all right. Better than some of the pretty ones, you know.
Well, it ain't just that Jenny's ugly, but she's so darn awkward and big. Why, even when she was a little girl living in town, she was always a head taller than any boy her age. And stronger, too. Well, I guess they've had enough to drink.
You were.
Yeah, the thing was, her folks were peculiar about Jenny. Wouldn't admit she was any different from the other girls.
Hey, you remember how they used to dress her? All those fancy clothes with frills and ribbons.
What made her look twice as foolish as she would have otherwise.
No.
Her father used to take her to parties, too, in the square dances. But he was the only one who ever danced with her. No, sir. I don't think a single boy in town courted her. Not one.
You're forgetting Willie Franklin.
Oh, sure.
Who is Will Franklin?
Yeah. He's quite a cut-up. Made a bet one night with some of the fellas. And said he'd get Jenny to agree to marry him. He took her out in his wagon and proposed. course she said yes. But she didn't know that Willie's friends was all hid in the back of the wagon. Leastwise, she didn't know it until they all busted out laughing.
Well, right after that, her folks died, wasn't she, Sheriff?
Yeah, yeah. That's when she bought this cabin. About 5 years ago, come to think of it. Well, Jenny can't be more than 25 or 6.
Looks a whole lot older, though. Wouldn't you say so, Britt?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not much good at judging age, especially a woman.
There's her place, up ahead. Lamp's still on. She must be up.
Sure, she's up all right. First time she ever had a man within touching distance, ain't it?
Ooh, boy, ooh.
What's the matter?
Yeah, better leave the horses here and go the rest of the way on foot.
Oh, no. Landy's not apt to give you any trouble.
Oh, you never can tell. You may be feeling better by now.
Yeah, but not that much.
Hey, he's seen us. Didn't waste no time about it, neither. Guess he wasn't as sick as you thought, Britt.
Or else he made a mighty fast recovery.
We'll never hit him from down here.
What do you suppose happened to Jenny?
I don't know. I've forgotten about her. He probably got her half scared to death.
Well, we'll have to rush him.
It ain't going to be easy, Sheriff. With this moon, he's sure to spot us.
That's all we can do. Sam, you and Harry see if you can make it up to the fence over there.
Right. You okay?
Okay.
Now, I'll fire twice. That'll be the signal to close in.
Now, hold on a minute, Sheriff. Just hold up here a minute. Now, if we go plowing up in front of that cabin, somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, what's the matter, Ponsett? You've been shot at before.
Well, that doesn't mean exactly I like the idea. And besides, there's another way of getting in that door around back. And there are a couple of trees back there.
Too. Oh, no, he'll be watching the back door. That's well, no fool.
I know, but it's worth a try, eh?
All right, I'll go with you.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you just let me go alone. One man ain't as apt to be seen. Now, you just keep firing. And if I ain't back in 5 minutes, well, we'll take him your way, huh?
5 minutes. We won't wait no longer.
I hunched down low and I started circling toward the rear of the cabin. Now, there wasn't much cover, just rocks and a couple of scrub pines. Anyway, nobody was shooting at me yet. So far, nobody'd seen me. I came up along the side of the barn. Yeah, the back door was just ahead now. I still had about 20 yards to go. I ran forward and my foot caught. I tripped over some of the kindling Jenny had stacked up there in the afternoon. I lay quiet for a minute. I just waited. It sounded to me like I'd made enough noise so they could hear it clear down Lead Creek. Shooting wasn't in my direction. So I got up on my knees and I raced for the cabin. I opened up the door. I kept on going. And when I got into the living room, I saw I'd figured right. That was on the cot just where I'd left him. Hadn't moved. It was Jenny who was doing the firing. And she swung around. She pointed the revolver at me. Her eyes weren't soft, not anymore.
You told him. You brought him here.
No, I had to, Jenny.
I would have taken him away as soon as he was well enough. Why couldn't you let us alone?
That killed a man last night,
Jenny. I don't care. I don't care what he does. As long as he needs me, I'll stand by him and help him.
He needed a hideout, didn't he? He must have been staying here for some time, or his pony wouldn't have had enough sense to come back here with his own accord. They're going to start closing in, Jenny.
You're not going to take him away from me. I won't let you. Ned likes me. He told me he likes me. And he's the first person who ever did.
Give me your gun, Jenny.
Even if it isn't true. Even if he didn't really mean it. He doesn't laugh at me like the others. He doesn't mind my look. But he said I'd be an old maid. Even my mother said it. But I won't. Not now. Ned'll take me with it. He'll marry me. I know he will.
Jenny, listen to me.
Don't you understand? I can't let you take him away. No matter what. Not even if I have to.
Killing me won't help in that.
It's the only way I can keep him. I gotta stop you somehow. You and the others out there.
Well, there's no way you can keep him, Jenny. He's dead.
What?
Now, turn around. Turn around, look at him. Now, I'm not trying to catch you off guard. Just turn around. He hasn't been breathing, not since I came in.
Oh. He loved me. Ned loved me.
All right, boys, come on in.
You all right?
I got him, huh, Brent?
Oh, there he is.
I might have known you'd take care of him.
That wasn't me, Sheriff. It was you.
Huh?
Your bullet from this afternoon.
Well, I'll be darned. I told you I was sure I'd hit him. Remember, Tom, I told you.
Well, then how come he was able to hold us off just now?
Well, he was a tough one to kill. He wouldn't give up. The strain of shooting at us must have finally finished him. Ain't that the way you figured, Britt?
Yeah, something like that.
What's the matter with her? Little gunplay bother you, Jenny? Come on, come on. Get a hold of yourself. It's all over now. Yeah, sure is funny how women are scared of gunfire. Every one of them. Even Jenny. Well, it just goes to show you that underneath, they're all pretty much alike.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they are. Well. Nat was buried the next day, and there was one bunch of flowers at the funeral, wild daisies. Folks just couldn't figure out who sent them. And, you know, they tell me that it was right about then that Jenny Garver started acting different. Oh, I don't mean she got pretty or anything like that, but she did seem more confident. She just seemed a little more sure of herself. People said if they didn't know better, they'd swear that a man had something to do with the way she changed, but of course they all knew better.
You're listening to The Grand Hour.
91.5 FM, WMFO, WMFO.org. That was Jenny. Again, air date, September 20th, 1953. It had a couple alternate titles. Love of a Good Woman, and just simply, Jenny Garber. So, following the format here, I played a double bill, the mystery, suspense, the shadow. I'll continue to play this double billing